At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Same type of context. Slave master, employee, bad boss. Does that work for you? Whatever you do, do your work heartily. That has to do not with just physical effort, but attitude as well. As for the Lord rather than men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for it is the Lord Christ you serve. Now, I'm going to be direct with you. In the Protestant Reformation, one of the profound things that came with that was this, is you worked as unto the Lord. So what's known as the Protestant work ethic. Anybody heard of that besides me? Okay. And so one of the things that made Western civilization what it was is work, hard work, was valued. It was a way you showed worship to God, is you do it under the Lord. So you physically worked hard, which brought production, if you will, to the process. It isn't the only thing that helped the Western civilization, but that type of idea came with it, okay? And so even when you're doing it for a boss, an employee, you do this, okay? 1 Corinthians 3 and 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. In other words, they achieve the same goal. But each. What's each? That means a you and a you. And you, not y'all, but each of us, okay, will receive his own reward according to his labor. So this idea that I get teenagers, listen to me, the reward God will give will not be based on how religious your parents are. If you receive that reward in this life, it's based on what you do, teenager. Your own, the emphasis here is the individual, your own labor. But let me throw a twist into that for you. God allows for, if you will, subrogate service. So, because let's get real, not everybody, how many of you get to go to Southeast Asia with me? Not everybody does. You don't get to serve in that way. So does that seem fair that I would get a reward that you can't get because you can't do what I do? And vice versa, though, as well. But God makes a way for that. My mother operates under this scripture because my mother's not a pastor. She's my dad's wife. Matthew 10 and 41. But he who receives a prophet, receives has the idea like inviting him in your home, hospitality, a prophet, that is a proclaimer, a preacher of the word, in the name of the prophet, for the sake of that's what he is. So he who receives a prophet, okay, a declarator of God's word, all right, in the name of the prophet, that is because he is one, all right, shall receive the prophet's reward. Oh, I don't get every opportunity that you do, but when I serve you, because of what you are doing. So even though I can't get up at the piano, and you wouldn't want me to, and get them behind the microphone and scare you all out of this building, so how do I get that reward? I serve that person. Okay, so God allows for that kind of thing as well. And it also goes on to say, he who receives a righteous man, in the name of the righteous man, shall receive the righteous man's reward. And it also goes on to talk about his disciples that way. When you honor a person righteous, the person that you go, man, I sure wish I could pray like. You know, I just admire so-and-so. They're just so devoted. You don't know what everything they went through to get there, but you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. You get to receive that reward as if you could pray like that. So God allows that. But we got to put it in the context of which Christ put it in. When we mentioned that earlier phrase, right? The first shall be last shall be first. All right. So for Matthew chapter 20, starting in the last half of verse 26, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. I like the word servant better. Just as, simile, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom. Here's why I get reward by being a servant. Ready? Not because I'm great or you're great, because when I become a servant, I get to be like Christ. And when you be like Christ, that brings reward and persecution. Remember, he promised that too. I want one, but I surely don't like the other. All right? And you'll see the same teaching in Mark chapter 9 and Mark chapter 10. One of my life verses addresses this. If you've been around a while, you know this. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Did you hear me, teenager? Regard your little brother and sister more important than you do yourself. Regard mom and dad. Why? Now look at, if you honor mom and dad, now you can get mom and dad's reward. Do not merely look to your own personal interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself. Notice it starts inside as a desire to be like Christ, because it goes on to say, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God. So no, he is God, but that wasn't what his concern was. His concern was those he came to die for. He didn't come and calm armies down from heaven. He didn't come and have the angels get him off the cross. He wasn't there for that. He was there for those he came to die for. And if those of you in hermeneutics, again, we read that this last week, that he came for the sick, not the healthy. For this reason he came. All right. And he emptied himself in the form of a bondservant or bondslave, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. That's the hard part. I can mow a lawn all day long. Well, not really, but I can mow a lawn. But when I have to go to you, when you haven't treated me well, you didn't even say hi to me in church. Matter of fact, I invited you over for dinner last year, and you've never invited me back. And now you're sick. Wait a minute, I got to eat crow and go over there? Yeah, that's when it's hard. When you like me and I like you and it's all peachy keen, it's buying a Christmas gift for that person who always badmouths you and the family. Wait a minute, Uncle George and I get along great. We'll exchange gifts, but get a gift for that person, uh-uh. Okay? Being a servant, it's the humble part. That's the hard part. Ready? When you just got in a fight with your spouse and you know you're right. Well, if she comes and apologizes, then wait a minute. Humble yourself and become her servant. Walk into the kitchen and start doing the dishes. Now, she might pass out because she ain't seen that before, all right? But that's when it's, come on, you guys that are married, you people married, you know that's hard, right? You got an argument, you're laying in bed back to back, you know, each facing the other way. Wait a minute, one of you needs to humble themselves, roll over, put their arms around the other one, say, I love you, I'm sorry, I'll make it up to you. That is not easy. I know maybe in the movies they maybe think so, but it ain't easy. Okay, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross, for this reason, or in other versions, therefore. For this reason, God, now wait a minute, what reason? That Jesus took on the form of a servant, humbled himself, he had this attitude, for that reason, God, Anybody know what comes next? Exalted him, right? And bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought Jesus came by that just because he's God. What this means is the Father, and you'll see it when you get the revelation, because of Christ's humility and servanthood, he deflects praise from himself to his Son. And the Son turns around and gives it back, by the way, okay? But he deflects that back because of that servanthood. You should be like Christ. And when you are, therefore, God will reward you when you become a servant. Now, this is the reason God gave you gifts. This is why God gave me my gift. As each, oh, that's the individual again. That means you don't get to jump piggyback onto mine. Each has received a gift. Anybody in here not an each? That means you have a gift. That means you have a gift. That means you have a gift. It excludes no one. Use it to serve others. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I had to learn this. I actually thought people liked me because I was nice, because I'm likable. No. I find most people that are drawn to me want my gift. And that means all y'all most of the time, too. Because most of the time, when I get a phone call for you, it's not for you to invite me to your house for dinner. It's help! I know that got you awake, didn't it? You see what I'm saying? Maybe you know somebody's got that gift of encouragement. That's who you invite to watch the game with you on Friday night. Because you had a long week, and you're going to bring over, by the way, Barnabas. The word name Barnabas means son of encouragement. So you invite that Barnabas over because you need upliftment. I understand that when most people are drawn to me, it is not because I'm likable. I'm serious, okay? Because there's a gift God gave me. And guess what? That used to bother me. I just don't know why they just can't like me for who I am. No, wait a minute. God gave me the gift I have. What? To serve others. Now watch the next part of the statement. As good stewards. What's a steward? Manager of someone else's stuff. Guess what? It ain't your gift. It's God's gift wanting to flow through you. It's your job to be a steward of that gift. Now, let's jump to the parable of the talents, because that's just the obvious place to go, because it uses the word talent, and we think that means gift. But really, it means money. But okay. And he says he gave to this guy one, this guy two, this guy five, right? So I think of my son-in-law. He plays 10 instruments. He got the 10. I got the 0. Yeah, because each one of those guys respected to make a profit. Matter of fact, to double that, this is an example of a steward that he gives in Scripture. It's a parable of stewardship. But remember what happens to the one guy who says, God gave me this gift, but I'm shy, so I'm not using it. Or maybe the guy who got one gift and said, man, I just don't have the time. Jesus says, you wicked servant. You wicked servant. I gave you something, and you buried it. I don't want to hear. Here's what I want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to be honest. Some of you I have literally prayed about, and I think I know your gift, and you may not. But others of you, I have no clue what your gift is. But I'll bet you do. But here's the problem. When you bury it, it never grows. Jesus says to that guy, wait a minute, you at least should invest in it and made some interest, growth. You should invest it somewhere. But when you bury it, you will never see it. You're expected. Now, wait a minute. See, too many people think of gift as something super spiritual. So don't think of gift as some super spiritual lead and worship all the time type thing. Okay, it's not the case. But you're expected to be a steward of that. You're accountable to God whether you use that gift. Don't think every gift has to be used within the four walls of the church. Okay? But I need to make a clarification, as we know, according to Romans 4, we don't do works for justification. Where did that idea begin? In modern, I'll guess, terms. The Reformation, there you go. That's justification by faith alone, not by works. That was one of Martin Luther's big things that got him in trouble with the Catholic Church. We are justified by faith in the work of Jesus Christ, not in ours. Okay, so this has nothing to do with whether you're more Christian than I am. You're just as saved, just as Christian as I am, whether you have one gift, five gifts, whether you use it or not. That isn't the case here. We're talking about just the gifts of good works. For you were created in God to do good works. Matter of fact, pre-planned good works, according to Ephesians. Okay? So the thing is, being justified by faith, I'm free. I don't have, you know what? I don't have to use my gift. It doesn't unsave me. It doesn't make God love me less. I am free under grace. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom. Amen. Brethren, but do not turn your freedom into an opportunity of the flesh. What flesh would that be? Lazy hind end flesh. My freedom, I don't have to use my gift. I'm just a slave, so I'm going to sit here and do nothing. Come on, we all have days like that. But listen to the context. But through love, serve one another. What's the context here? The context is I'm under free. I don't have to serve you. I don't have to. I'm saved anyway. I know that. But that's the flesh speaking. For, there's that word again, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You got to understand, though, the reward's not the goal. It's not the point. I just love my Christ so much, I want to emulate him. It's funny as you get, especially as a dad, you ladies, you know, I'm sorry, I don't relate to being a mom, okay, no matter what the world says today. But if you ever had a son, dad, or a daughter, mom, or whatever, here's what, because they love you and admire you, where did you get that? Me. That's where they got that. Okay? Just because they admire and love, and that's the person they looked up who's mom and dad, they start emulating mom and dad. So a couple weeks ago, last week, I posted a video of my little grandson playing the piano. Why? He's emulating his mother because he's using his little fingers and then reaching down to the end going, cling, cling. Why? Because mom's the end of the world, man. You get an owie, I'm running to mom. I want a hug. I want mom. Suck the bed. I want mom. And once in a while, grandpa. But the goal, that's not the goal. Watch what Ruth says. Boaz says to her, I hope you get this reward, man. She said, I have found favor. Anybody know what word that is? Grace. The word favor, I found grace. In your sight, my Lord, you have comforted me indeed, have spoken kindly of your maidservant, and I'm not even worthy to be called one of those. No wonder she left her father, her mother, her homeland. The girl has a humble heart. Even when Boaz, who has the power to reward her, and does, say, you understand, I ain't even worthy to be one of your servants. I think that's where she didn't say, well, it's about time somebody recognized what I do around here. Well, you know, I've come and set up chairs every Sunday for 2 years and pastors never said thank you. I believe it. That's not Ruth's. Well, you know, boys, it's been so hard. I mean, do you realize what it was for me to come over here all the way from over, and I lost my husband too. No. Wait. I know you're speaking blessing over me, fella, but I'm not even worthy of that. Boy, that's just the opposite of a certain theological group in our country, but I'll leave that alone. So look what happens, though. He invites her to lunch. She isn't worthy to be one of his servants, and he invites. If that ain't a picture of Christ, I don't know what is. I am not worthy to be invited to his dinner table. But he invites me. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come and eat bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. That means dip with me. Eat out of the same bowl. And she sat beside the reapers. Now listen. He served her grain. Maybe he had this figured out. And the first shall be, and the last shall be. Okay? He's thinking a waka waka. He's thinking a reward, and he enters this. The only way I'm really going to win her heart is be her servant. Oh, come on, husbands. I thought it meant being the boss. Uh-uh. It means servant. He serves her. You know, Christ served me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He didn't wait me to say, yep, okay, I'll come eat. He came as my servant. Now, look what happens. She ate and was satisfied, and there was stuff left over. See, when you become a servant and you have a humble heart and you want to serve someone in your hour of need, when you're hurting, and you go help the Naomi, God will bring satisfaction to you. He'll satisfy you, and you'll have more left over. See, what we think is this. Well, I just got to get filled up first. Then I'll have something to give. That's the way we think. All right? Well, when I have extra, not, please don't take that as money. No. You give out of your lack. How do I know that? Because Jesus is one day standing watching the offering plate. Could you imagine this? We're passing the offering plate, and I'm checking to see who gives what. Would you be comfortable with that? Okay? Jesus is literally standing there with the disciples. Okay, so it's me and the elders sitting there watching what you put in the plate. Ow! And who does he says gives the most? The one with nothing. To really give. A few pennies. It is when we give out of our lack. Why is that bring the response? See, when I don't have anything, I have to give by faith. I am not talking money. Don't do that to me. I'm talking about when life's handed you a tough time and you hear of somebody else and you go, I'm going to go encourage them. Yeah, but I ain't got anything to encourage with. Yes, you do. It's called the Word of God. Yes, you do. Christ saves you. But we think our life's gone all these ways. Family members died. That's their case. No money. You're begging, but you're going to serve someone else. God will satisfy you, and then you'll have some left over. Because only when it's brought out of the dirt, if you will, in the parable of the talents, and it's used, does it multiply. We want God to come multiply it in us. Then, we'll give to others. That ain't the way the kingdom works. You know what she does with that extra? Anybody gets that extra lunch, what does she do with it? Save it for tomorrow? She goes and gives it to Naomi. Well, wait a minute. She comes with an ephah of stuff. Why does she have to give Naomi anything? She's bringing back an ephah, which is about, 9 gallons? Take 9 milk jugs full of grain, and you bring that. I think that's enough. But it expresses Ruth's heart. Yeah, that's enough, but I can't help it. I got here, have some. Let me put it this way. God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes, amen.
A cheerful giver. I have learned this sort of the hard way. To be honest, I wonder, wait a minute, my mind's not on praying for a sick person. I'm not prepped for that in that sense. I've settled down for the evening, maybe watching Ozzy and Harriet, which we like. Okay, if you don't know who that is, too bad. Okay, and so that's where your mind is. I know this, though. If I get up and I go serve, I will walk out of the hospital with more than I walked in with.
Yes.
Because God gives back to me, and I've learned is it's joyful to give. Now, what I learned was when it's joyful to give, you get back. If I just give because I have to, you'll walk out empty. Gosh, jeez, I'm tired. Sure wish I could have stayed home in my jammies. See, that's when Jesus, let your heart, your attitude, your mindset be like Christ. Who was, you're going to have to work on that. Because our culture tells you just the opposite. Whether it's the car commercial or the new game box thing, you deserve it. That's our mentality, is we deserve the idea of, wait a minute, I like Ruth, man, I don't even deserve to be your maidservant. Who is she saying this to? A guy that's so blessed, he has extra. She doesn't go, well, I wish you'd pay your fair share. She isn't envious because of what he has. She, out of that place of recognizing she's nothing, she says, I know I can't give you anything, but there's still Naomi. She defaults to giving. Do you default to giving? Please don't do money. Do you default to giving? Do you default when you turn somebody in need? I'm talking emotional need, physical need, financial need, whatever it is. Do you default to say, what can we do about that? Hey, honey, what do we got? What can we do? How can we help? Oh, they weren't at church for 2 weeks, they're sick. I think I'll make them cookies. Do you default to that? When you default to that, you default to Christ-likeness. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to default to you and not to me. Let's stand. Join with me in prayer, please. Father, again, I thank you for your word. God, you could take everything from us, but don't take your word. Lord, I thank you that it speaks life to me, into my heart, God, because my heart at times doesn't default to Christ-likeness. Lord, I pray that you help each one of us here by your Spirit. Even this week, opportunities rise. Help us, oh God, to default to servanthood like Christ. And then, Lord, I know I will be worshiping you in some place besides this building when I walk out there and I be like you. Be glorified, I pray.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.